Galatians 6 this evening, reading verse 17 and verse 18. We're bringing the book to an end tonight. I think we have 50 sermons in this book. It's been a while. I guess it's been about a year, huh? Notice with me as we come here, we're titling the message this evening, Bearing the Marks of Jesus. Last week we looked at the true Israel of God in verse 16. And tonight we just want to look at the apostle here speaking of what he has been through. Verse 17 and 18, From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, tonight we do ask again for thy blessings upon the reading of thy precious word. Father, again, we ask tonight that you speak to us, Lord. We pray that the Word of God would not be as the words of men, but, Lord, we would look at it as thy precious Word, and, Lord, that we would take to heart the things that we see here this evening, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From verse 11, we have been looking at the closing statements of the apostle. In verse 11, he speaks of the importance of the Scripture. In verse 12 through 15, he speaks of the importance of the cross. In verse 16, he speaks of the true Israel of God, which is the church made up of Jew and Gentile. This evening, he's speaking of bearing the marks of the Lord Jesus. This is the way that he closes this letter. Now, notice, as we come to verse 17, the first statement, I'm going to address two statements in this. But the first statement he says, which is interesting, he said, from henceforth, in other words, from now on. He said, from henceforth let no man trouble me. Now, Paul had had many troubles. Much of that came from what we have referred to in this book as the Judaizers. But he also has some trouble from the Christians, the believers that were in the churches of Galatia. And notice he said, verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me. In other words, he's saying from now on, let there be no more opposition against his ministry. For he had exposed error. We see this all through the book. And he explained the gospel very clearly in this epistle. Now, he exposed what was wrong, and he revealed what was right. And he said, don't want to hear anything else. I've had enough. Don't give me any more trouble. And what he's done, he has proved his sincerity through two ways, through his preaching and also through his sufferings. And we're going to look at his sufferings tonight. Now, first of all, notice some of those that troubled him. As we back up to chapter 5, let me read verse 10 and verse 12. Clearly, there are those that trouble the Apostle Paul. And we have referred to them as the Judaizers, apostate Judaism. He says here in verse 10, he said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you, that is the false teachers. They're actually called false teachers in chapter 2, verse 4. They're referred to as false brethren. So he says in verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. Verse 12, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. So there are those that we referred to as Judaizers that not only troubled the Apostle Paul, but they troubled the church with bringing the false teachings, and some of the people were drawn away from what the Apostle Paul had established there. We find them again, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. The Judaizers refused to suffer for the cross of Christ. They pushed the issue of circumcision. We would read that here in verse 11. Paul said that he suffered persecution. One reason is because he did not line up with the Judaizers and forcing the Gentiles to be circumcised. But also we find that Paul was troubled not only by the Judaizers, but he was troubled by some in the churches of Galatia. Notice with me as we turn to chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from verse 12. Chapter 4 and verse 12. You see, Christians in the church at Galatia, or the church is, you have the church of Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And we find that Christians in these churches had also gave Paul trouble. And they also trouble, I would imagine, the elders that the apostle had ordained to be in these churches. So notice as we read from verse 12, chapter 4. He said, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. At my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." Now here's the passage. He says, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And he compares his ministry of truth and righteousness with the ministry of the false teachers in verse 17 and 18. And here's Paul's desire. He said in verse 19 of chapter 4, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." So Paul was troubled by the Judaizers, the false brethren, and he was also troubled by believers in the churches. Well, notice with me as we come back to chapter 6, and I'll give you another passage, just write it down. The apostle also said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, he said, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The apostle Paul watched over the souls of the churches of Galatia. And he did have grief as he tried to minister to some of them. Notice now the second phrase in verse 17. In verse 17, first of all, he said, "From henceforth let no man trouble you." From the writing of this letter, as I write this letter and put it in your hands, he says, from this time forward, I don't want any more trouble from the Christians in the church. And he says, and then he says, "For," now here's one of the reasons. Again, Paul proved his sincerity not only through his preaching, his revelation, but also through his sufferings. The Judaizers refused to suffer. And so notice he says in the latter part of verse 17, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." That's an amazing statement that we have here. When he talks about the marks in his body, he's talking about the wounds and the scars in his physical body for the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. You can turn loose of Galatians and go with me to 1 Corinthians 4. Notice in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul is saying, "Look at my battle scars." While the Judaizers avoided the battle scars, he's saying, "Look at my battle scars." The mark of ownership. Paul was a servant, and he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times, slave owners would brand their slaves. We find that an owner would identify his cattle with a mark or brand. How many ever seen a brand on a cow? And now they're putting chips in animals, especially pets and so forth. But an owner identified his cattle by a mark or a brand. And so the Apostle Paul had a brand. He had been marked. And he had the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ still bears his scars and his hands, his side, and his feet. And the Apostle Paul is saying that he also bears the marks of Jesus Christ. So he's saying my preaching and my sufferings and my brand, my marks, they testify unto the fact that I have brought unto you the truth. That was his credentials. One writer said years ago, he said, if taken to court for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prosecute you? As we read through the scriptures in the first century, we saw that people were willing to die for Christ. That doesn't mean that all will die, but people were willing to die. People today in many places can't even endure an hour service, you know, in worship. And people are giving their lives throughout church history. Even in the 20th century, the beginning of the 21st century, people have given their lives. It's estimated more had been martyred in the 20th century than any other century since the birth of Christianity. Well, notice as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, what I want to do is I want to go through some verses, and I'll just have to give you reference to some of them. It's like this morning preaching, I just run out of time, and it's not worried much about time, but we run out of recording time, and there are many other things I could brought to you this morning. I guess I said enough in 75 minutes, I don't know, but I'll give you some reference, and I will not turn to all of them. But as we come here, we're going to look at some verses, first of all, on Paul's marks, his sufferings. And then we'll consider just a few verses on Christ and then Christians in general. Now notice as we come to 1 Corinthians 4, we began in this chapter this morning, but what we want to do is come down to about verse 9. Notice with me as we come down to verse 9, and I just want you see how Paul suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ. That, now think about this, he suffered for the cause of Christ that we might have the gospel and that we might have a Bible. Now think about this. These apostles gave us the word. Now they've been preserved by the church down through church history, but the apostle Paul gives us 13, 14 letters in the New Testament, half of the New Testament. And he suffered for Christ and his church. As a matter of fact, I want you to listen to this. I was going to turn to it later. But just listen to a passage that's always caught my attention. He said in Colossians 1, verse 24, he said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up. Now think of it. The word fill up means to complete. And he said, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, Paul didn't die for our sins, but Paul died for the gospel, which tells us that Christ died for our sins. And he gave us the word, and he gave his life that the gospel might go forth, not only in Jewish territories, but that Gentile churches would be established. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll read just a few verses here. If you're taking notes, chapter 15, verse 30 through 33, he speaks of his life being in jeopardy. He speaks of basically fighting with beasts at Ephesus. He's talking about men that oppose the gospel. We find here in this chapter, beginning verse 9, he said, I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the word and the angels and the men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise. We're weak, but you're strong. You're honorable, but we are despised. Even of this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, that is, people speaking harsh against them, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. He continues to talk about this throughout the rest of this chapter. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you're taking notes, write down 2 Corinthians 1, verses 5 through verse 10. He speaks of his sufferings, his afflictions, his trouble, and things of that nature. He said they have the sentence of death within themselves. All of this is for Christ. All of this is for the gospel. All of this is for the church. This is so that you and I would have before us right now the completed canon of Scripture. Just think about that. Just think about what people has went through for us. We think about what Christ 2,000 years ago went through on the cross that we might have eternal life, that we may have a home in heaven. But think about what the apostles and Christians have went through over the years. Think about some even years later from the first century with the printing of the Bible and then later the printing presses. Think of the people that gave their life and they died, put in prison and died for trying to get the Scriptures in the hands of believers. And many won't even read it. They have no love for it whatsoever throughout our country. Notice the 2 Corinthians. I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. Again, I'm just picking out a few verses that I think are very important. I'm here in chapter 4. He says in chapter 4, reading in verse 7, but we have this treasure is the ministry, it's the gospel, it's the truth. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now look at this. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He continues to talk about this. Notice with me in chapter 6. In chapter 6 and verse 4. He said, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions and necessities and distresses, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors, in watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, and he continues on. He even says in verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. He continues on to speak of this. You say, why do you talk about this from time to time? Because it's mentioned much in the Scripture. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to pick a reading up in verse 22. 22 through the end of the chapter. Now, if the Apostle Paul was candidating for the pastorate at some church and they wanted a resume, I'm going to read it to you. In this chapter, it begins with false teachers. And he deals with that. And it also speaks of false teachers, especially verse 13, 14, and 15, and the kind of people that they are. And then the Apostle Paul says, let me glory a little bit. And here's what he said. He said, he even said, I'll just speak foolishly a little bit because this is what they're doing. But here's what he said. Here's his resume to send into some church to become the pastor. He says, verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Watch this. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times receive I 40 stripes save one. That's 39 each time. Now, if I multiply that by five. He said, five times receive I 40 stripes, save one. That's 195 stripes with a whip, with the beatings. This is so that we can have a Bible. This is so that we can have a gospel. This is so that we can know about our Savior. We can know that a Creator became our Redeemer. That's what this, Paul could have been playing golf. Paul could have been off, you know, somewhere doing what he wanted to do. But he gave his life as Christ gave his life. He said, verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I had been in the deep, that is, floating in the water, wondering if you're going to live or die or something's going to get a hold of you in the water. He's just out in the water. He said in verse 26, in journeys often, in perils of water, that is, the word perils means dangers, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Then he says in verse 28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He's trying to convince the Corinthians that God loves them and He loves them. And then he says, he goes on in verse 29, 30, verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. And then he mentions in the last two verses, Damascus, where they're about to kill him, and he had to be let through a window in a basket and was let down by the wall and escaped those who are trying to kill him. That's his resume. Send it in. I want to become the pastor of some church, you know, and send that in. Not many would respond back to the Apostle Paul. Not very many. This was his life. Chapter 12, he begins talking about his infirmities in verse 5. He even says in verse 10, he says in chapter 12, verse 10, he said, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And then in chapter 13, verses 3 through 6, he continues the thought. Well, notice with me as we come to Ephesians chapter 3. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, and notice here, if you read through Philippians 3, verses 4 through 14, we read two verses from that chapter this morning, you'll find that the Apostle Paul, his eyes were fixed upon the Lord and serving the Lord. And he even says that he wanted to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And he also says that he's forgetting all things which are behind and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. This man's mind and heart was made up. Nothing distracted him. He was like Christ coming to this earth and going to the cross. Paul let nothing distract him from serving God. And this is why we're going to read in a moment his last words. He could honestly say that he had kept the faith. And he has a crown waiting for him. He never let anything distract him. But notice in Ephesians chapter 3, what I'm going to read is repeated again in chapter 4, 1, and chapter 6 and verse 20. Paul was a prisoner. He was a prisoner in Rome at least once, maybe twice. But here's what he said. He said in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. When he was a prisoner in Rome, he considered himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. As John said in John, Revelation 1, 9, he said, I am your companion in tribulation. He was going through tribulation. He was writing from the Isle of Patmos. And let me just read that passage. I love this passage, the faith of these men. But he said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John said, I'm here because of the word and because of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're talking about Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read a passage this morning out of the book of Acts, and I'll just give you that text to write down. We'll not go back there. But Acts chapter 20, especially in verse 22 through 35, I am inspired by Paul's life and the things that he said. He's going to Jerusalem knowing the danger there, knowing that he would be arrested, probably carried to Rome, and he makes the statement, he says, I go bound in the Spirit in Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. And he says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's inspiring. That is very inspiring when you think about it, that he's going knowing that the Spirit of God says that bonds and affliction abide him when he goes to Jerusalem. And we know the story. He's arrested and he's carried to Rome and put in prison. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. By the way, Acts 15:26, Paul and others, it says that they had hazarded their life for Jesus Christ. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've read this many times. We'll read it many times in the future if the Lord tarries. He said in verse 7 and verse 8, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And when you come down to verse 16, 17, and 18, he says that my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse 17, he says, but the Lord stood with him. And verse 18, he said, the Lord will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. So the Apostle Paul bare the marks of the Lord, scars. He had battle scars and wounds because he had been beat on, he had been whipped, he had been through shipwreck, many things. All of it is for the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept his eyes focused and his hope in the Lord, knowing that one day, all of this, he would receive crowns and rewards. Now let's go just for a moment to Christ. Turn with me to John 15. John chapter 15. Reading just a few verses, we know that Christ suffered for the church. And the Lord Jesus still bears the marks of his people as our great high priest. Amen? He still bears those marks, even in the resurrected body. I think about Christ as our high priest. The priests of the Old Testament had on the breastplate the names of God's covenant people as they went in to minister in the Holy of Holies to make an atonement. Christ bears our names as he went into the presence of God. He intercedes for us. There's a passage in Isaiah 49:16 says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." This is a great comfort to God's people. We've been graven. He said, "I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Some use that verse to say it's okay to have tattoos. They misinterpret the verse. So we find that that is a great comfort to God's people of all ages, that our names are ever before Him. Notice in John chapter 15, our Savior, Jesus Christ, verses 18 through 21. He says in verse 18, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And by the way, if the world loves you, you better check up on your salvation. You better check up on your walk before Him if everybody just loves you. He said in verse 20, he said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also." Amazing statement. Christ suffered for the church, but he says that his followers will also suffer. In other words, you may not be beat on and whipped and thrown out of a ship into the water and so forth, but you will be kind of pushed away from those that are in the world. They will not want you in their presence much of the time. Especially if you live for the Lord, if you speak for the Lord and love the Lord, folks will see that. But trust me, you don't need those kind of friends anyway. And they'll be those that will listen to you along the way. Now, what about the Christian, all of us? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. First recorded teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Sermon on the Mount. So notice here the saints of God, the saints of God. What is amazing is that in Matthew 10, if you're taking notes, verse 16 through 33, the Lord Jesus told his disciples exactly what would take place. We read about the accounts of that in the book of Acts. We find that in Matthew 5, verse 28 through 32, we find that again, the apostles, they were beaten. They weren't killed at the time. They were beaten, thrown in prison, and so forth. And they began rejoicing. It says that they counted it worthy to suffer for His name. How many do you know that would do that today? When they were threatened, when they were opposed and even beaten, they rejoiced and praised God, and they said that they counted it worthy that they could suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:29 says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake." That's what God is wanting us to do. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4 through 10, they are going through, they received the word in much tribulation. We'll be looking at it as we get into that book. They received the word with joy going through much tribulation. 2 Timothy 3, 12, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Hebrews 10, 32 through 39, many of the Hebrew believers in the first century, as Paul, they had the spoiling of their goods. They had oppositions. Chapter 11, verse 35 through the end of the chapter, through 40, we find that many in the Old Testament, they lived in caves and dens and so forth. And Jesus Christ said that the world is not even worthy of them. In chapter 12 and verse 4, we see the opposition again. In chapter 13, verse 3, again, we see the opposition. In 1 Peter, five chapters, five times, Peter addresses the issue that we will have opposition from the outside. If we love God and follow Him, there will be those that will give us opposition. Now notice in Matthew 5, I want to read just a few verses here, beginning in verse 10. He says in verse 10, he said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted." Can you put those two words together, blessed and persecuted? To a lost mind, that don't make any sense whatsoever. To the flesh, to our flesh, doesn't make any sense. He said, blessed are you, happy are you, when men shall revile you. And, well, I'm in verse 11. Let me back up verse 10. I didn't finish that. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12. What's the first word? Can you wrap your mind around that? Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And then he says in verse 11 that we're to be the salt of the earth. In verse 14 and 15, we're to be the light of the world. And verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's go back and read Galatians 6, the last two verses, and we'll close. Notice with me as we come back. This has been a tremendous book. I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's been a help to me to spend this much time in it. I taught it many years ago, I'm guessing, 25 years ago. But this time, really to camp out in some of these chapters and spend time, it has been a great help to me, and I hope it has to you as well. Verse 17 and verse 18 again. He says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace, notice he's speaking to the Christians, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the opportunity to come together and worship and to sing the songs of Zion and look into Thy Word. We thank You for that privilege. Lord, we pray for Your blessings upon the remaining service, again, as we sing, as we take up the prayer request this evening. And Father, we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be stirred from Thy Word and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray that we'd be faithful to Thy truth and to Thy commands and to Thy Word, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.